Hey guys, you heard me mention this yesterday, but you know, for all of us who are doing DFS research all the time, jumping around the web, injury news, matchup history, on-offs, looking for projections, looking for player pages, DVP rankings, etc., I've got a tool that I can't recommend highly enough. Fantasy 5x5 analytics website, partner, friend of the podcast, developed by independent DFS players for independent DFS players doing their own research in the NBA DFS world. What I love about Fantasy 5x5 is the everyday dashboard, easy to read graphics, quick and easy to get to injury news, matchups, everything that you need in a daily basis for your DFS slate. You know, I tweeted out some stats yesterday. Hopefully you got to see some of the kind of really easy to read interactive pieces that they have over there at Fantasy 5x5. But, you know, for my money, I think that it's one of the best analytics tools out there. I highly recommend you check it out. I'll be tweeting it out. You can find the link in my show notes today. Follow them, Fantasy 5x5, on Twitter, and look for some stats this afternoon. With that, let's jump into the pod. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Lineup Logic Podcast. I am your host, Sean Kane, and this is the podcast that brings you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on FanDuel. It is Wednesday, February 15th, and we have a monster 14-game slate to break down in the next hour. Hopefully you came off a good night last night. That 3-game slate was kind of tricky, you know, and if you were on some of the right plays on the night, then you were fine. If you missed a couple of those plays, then you may have been left in the cold. You know, for me, I just creeped across that cash line at the end of the night. Being overweight on that Lakers game really helped me, you know, get into the green. You know, perfectly fine night for what it was. 3-game slates. You know, these little slates are actually kind of nice just because you can focus your decision making. I think that there's something to be learned from like knowing how to make the right decisions on small slates and just understanding how to create nice, even lineups. You know, a lot of times we want to stay away from these slates just because we get a little bit nervous. The reality is the variance is much higher on the, you know, in the large slates. It's a lot harder to cash on these monster slates. You know, you see higher scores, higher totals, but the small slates are pretty consistently, you know, if you can get yourself to 300, you're going to probably cash on these small slates. So, you know, not bad at all. In the next hour, though, we're going to break down this massive 14-game slate that's coming before the All-Star break. You know, we only have 2 games on Thursday night, and then we got 5 days off. Now, I told you guys we got something coming up. Definitely look towards Twitter. May run out a free roll, a little contest, little giveaway tomorrow, Thursday, on this stupid 2-game slate. No reason to play real money on a 2-game slate. I mean, 3 is one thing. 2 is just a disaster. So maybe we'll just run out a little free roll, a little contest, try to, you know, have a little bit of fun on Thursday night. So keep your eyes on my Twitter feed for that information. But before we do that, let's go ahead and recap the previous day's lineup. Okay, so like I mentioned, I was able to kind of creep over the cash line, hit 293, just about 300. Had a couple plays that really, really worked out well. A couple plays that, you know, kind of had me nervous all night long. At point guard, it was Rubio and Collison. Rubio did beautiful things, almost outscored Kyrie for, you know, $2,000 less. Kyrie defense is just absolutely brutal, and Rubio had 16 assists. That was something else. Collison, you know, kind of leveled out. 70% ownership in cash games. You know, he was absolutely chalky, but did fine. 26 FD points. Carter Williams and Nick Young, they did fine, just about 4+X each. You know, okay, not great, but people were on them. You know, that was a pretty popular play. Wiggins and Butler both performed excellently. Wiggins especially, you know, upwards of 20, almost 30 shots, I think it was, attempts. Just absolutely massive usage. Scored 40 against LeBron, who, is just basically trying to get through the next couple weeks. Jimmy Butler, 43, which was the same number as LeBron. You like the savings that you got there, and it's good to see Jimmy Buckets back in good form. Tolliver and Randall were kind of my sweat of the night. Both of them, you know, if you weren't on Taj and Fry, you were kind of like, oh, geez, what's going to happen here? You know, Tolliver and Randall did it. They did enough to get me in there, really. And then, of course, Boogie absolutely destroying people with 66 FD points, going 66X here. Excuse me, going 6X in that game. Absolutely wonderful. Love a good Boogie night. So hopefully you cashed. You know, those three-game slates, they're interesting. I think that they're a challenge as far as lineup construction goes. You know, you're testing your ability to basically create nice, even, balanced lineups and make sure that you're not, you know, punting and taking too many risks on value plays. And when you're doing that, you know, you're challenging your ability to, you know, make sure you find minutes, find usage, find guys who are in secure roles. You just want to get to that 300 number on those short slates. And, you know, any night that you can find yourself really trying to get to that 300 number, you know, you're probably testing your own process. So, you know, those short slates are nice. We've been pretty successful with them on the pod recently, you know, cashing pretty consistently on those three gamers. But tonight is a different story. 14 massive games. So in the next hour, we'll break down the night to come in the NBA. We'll go spreads. We'll go injury news. Then we'll break down the players to target on the slate upcoming. So without further ado, let's take a look at tonight. All right. First game of the night, San Antonio at Orlando. 206 total in this one. San Antonio favored by 10. No, you know, surprise there. No Gasol, obviously. No Surge for Orlando right now. I don't know. This kind of game seems like a stay away. The only thing I'm interested in maybe is a little Dwayne Dedman against the Orlando front court, but I'm not really that interested in that game. Seems like a blowout to me. Indiana at Cleveland, 219 total in this one. Cleveland favored by 3 at home. The news that we really got to keep our eye on is the Pacers front court. Thad Young out, and then Lavoy Allen sat in last game as well. Sore knee. So we could fire up some Kevin Serafin if we get some news about him maybe getting the start or Allen out, but haven't heard so far. Philadelphia at Boston, 219 total on this one. Boston favored by 10. Nice game. Embiid is going to sit. Okafor is going to come off the bench. Nerlens will get the start at center. You know, so decent spot for Nerlens. An even better spot for the Boston front court. You know, attacking the Philadelphia at the center position has been something that we're interested in. And in the Boston side of the ball, no Avery Bradley, no Jaylen Brown. So Gerald Green and Marcus Smart picking up a lot of usage there. You know, Gerald Green, I guess, is interesting. He's almost min-priced. So, you know, he could be a sneaky punt here while other people are, you know, chasing some of those other more popular value plays. Charlotte at Toronto, 212 total in this one. Toronto favored by 6 here. You know, not a bad game, of course. The thing that you like about this game is no Plumlee, no Zeller. We're going to get Frank the Tank at center over 35 minutes. But man, Frank's price has gone way up. He's at 5'8". I don't mind the matchup with Toronto's front court at all. You saw what Taj did last night. It's a spot that you can attack for sure. The question you have to ask yourself is Frank going to get over 30 points? You know, I don't see that as crazy at all because this game should be competitive, but I don't know either. Milwaukee at Brooklyn, 217 total in this one. Milwaukee favored by 5. You know, very appealing game here. You know, without Parker, we're definitely looking at Giannis, no question. Like him quite a bit, and we don't play the Nets. Dallas at Detroit, 202 total in this one. Detroit favored by 4. Lowest total on the night. This game is a total stay away for me. Not interested. New Orleans at Memphis, 204 total in this one. Memphis favored by 8. You know, this game kind of profiles as a stay away for me as well. Feels like Memphis at home could really grind down the pace, and New Orleans is very thin. You know, I think the only thing you're possibly interested in is if we get news that, you know, with Dante Cunningham or Terrence Jones out of the lineup, you know, maybe we get some extra Etuan Moore, some extra Solomon Hill. I'm not really sure. Those guys make me nervous for sure, but if one of them is going to get 30 minutes at almost min price, then you kind of you have to look their direction. Miami at Houston, 223 total in this one, one of the higher totals on the night. Houston favored by 10 at home. We saw these two teams play a competitive game in Miami not long ago in January. No serious injuries on the Miami side of the ball beyond what we already know. And on the Houston side of the ball, we are looking at, you know, Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson were both questionable. They had a thumb and a back, but they're in. They look like they're good to go. They both practiced yesterday. So kind of a bummer. It would have cracked open some awesome value on the Houston side if those guys were sitting. But alas. Minnesota at Denver, 227 total in this one. Love this game. This is going to be a really nice fantasy game. So much usage being stuffed down the throats of the studs in this game. We saw Wiggy do some great things the other day, yesterday, you know, massive usage. He's got a great pace up situation in Denver. His price didn't change at all after that 49 point outing, but man, it should soon. And then on the Denver side of the ball, so many injuries and questionable tags, you know, Moutier still game time decision. Plumlee not likely to play. Arthur probably out. Gallo out. Fareed out. You know, so okay, and no Nurkic. So you know, okay, is this going to be Juancho, Hernan Gomez, and Jokic as the only front court players? I sure hope so, because if they are, then you know, 30 plus minutes for those two guys, that really, really is nice in a huge total, highest total on the night. Portland at Utah, 205 total here. Jazz favored by 8 at home. I don't know about this game. You know, I don't mind some of the Jazz players. I'm definitely staying away from Portland on the road here, but it is a low pace, low total game. I think that Gordon Hayward is in an interesting spot for a bounce back. But that's probably about it for me. Maybe some George Hill. I'm not sure if he falls to me, but Derrick Rose is right there at 6K. We'll talk about Derrick Rose. On the Portland side of the ball, Al-Farouq Aminu, possibly injured. Oh, the other thing we have to keep an eye on is who is playing center for the Blazers. If we have no Nurkic, you know, if we have no Aminu, if it's once again, what's his name? Myers Leonard. Then, okay, Rudy Gobert versus Myers Leonard. Do the math. Lakers at Suns, 225 total in this one. Another really, really nice pace-up, low-defense game here. No serious injuries to consider in this one, and I'm definitely favoring the Suns side of the ball just because that Lakers rotation can be hard to predict. So I don't mind Devin Booker at all in a bounce-back spot where his price has kind of gone down over the last couple games. This should be a get-right spot for him. New York at Oklahoma City. The Knicks are 7-point dogs against the Thunder here. Noah out with the hammy. Which, you know, okay, that opens up the front court a little bit there for Kristaps and Hernan Gomez and O'Quinn. But the play that I really like in this game is Steven Adams. 35-plus minutes without Cantor in the lineup, coming off a rest at home against the Knicks front court. Sounds delicious. Atlanta at the Clippers, 211 total here. Clips favored by 3. This game is interesting, primarily because of the backcourt matchups here. You know, you have a lot of value, obviously, on the Clips side of the ball with J.J., Jamal, Felton, and Rivers going up against the Atlanta frontcourt that just has been giving up a ton of points. Atlanta backcourt giving up a ton of points. So definitely some interest in those plays there. Yeah, that's about it, though, on that side of the ball. Sacramento at Golden State, last game of the night, 224 total here. Golden State favored by 17. A little bit of a revenge game for the Warriors here. You know, big letdown in Denver, obviously. We saw that. And they, you know, recently lost to the Kings. So, really seems like a spot for the Warriors to just come out and do their death lineup thing right before the break and just mow down Sacramento, especially considering how Sacramento has really struggled against guards this year, or recently, you know, struggled against the two. So I, something in the water smells like blowout, but you know, at the same time, I'm not scared of getting some Golden State shares in a blowout situation. You know, and then there's of course the value on the Sacramento side with all the injuries that they've been going through. Definitely some interesting plays over there. Boogie, of course, you never sleep on Boogie, but I don't know how much this game's great total, great pace. Got to keep an eye on if there's any value that opens up, you know, especially as the last game of the night. You'd hate to roster somebody who might sit, like a Klay Thompson seems really nice to me, but with that heel, you know, they may say, no, it's okay, Klay, take a seat. So we'll see about that. Hopefully we get some news about who's playing and who's sitting in this Sacramento game. All right. You know, we've got 14 games to break down, so let's go ahead and jump into the player breakdown and figure out which players we love. Who do you love? Okay, so in the lock and load segment, what I'm going to do here is I'll go through, sort through all of the studs for us to figure out, you know, where you want to spend your money, which studs you want to put on. You know, these big slates, there's kind of, you know, there's so much value that if you feel really comfortable with your value plays, you can definitely try to roster up a lot of really, you know, nice high-priced studs and then just kind of feel secure in your value. You can also go the opposite direction, you know, go single stud, single punt, you know, one and one, and then try to be nice and even through the rest of it. It's kind of just, it's all about lineup construction, you know, and targeting the right games. So we're going to try to stay on those right games. At point guard, you got to love Russell Westbrook tonight. He's got one of the best matchups of the night against the Knicks. They've improved in DVP to the point guard, but it's still not a good situation. Westbrook is pretty much matchup proof. He's got to have a bounce back after that terrible game in Washington. He has an excellent history against Derrick Rose. He already scored 65 FanDuel points this season against them in the Garden. So, you know, Westy is absolutely, I think, a lock for 55 plus tonight. You know, he averages a triple-double against the Knicks just like in his career, you know, which is pretty impressive. He's plus 650 points at home this year, averaging 60 at home, you know, and it averages 57 coming off of a day of rest. So there's absolutely safety and logic in spending on Russell Westbrook where people will be spending on other studs on the slate. Westbrook feels very safe. In fact, probably the safest of the studs tonight. So don't mind Westy at all, as usual. At shooting guard, you've got Harden here, but I don't know. You know, Harden could absolutely do some damage at home here. You love him at home. You know, he's definitely a candidate for 55 plus. Will he get you over 60? I'm not sure. You know, I think that you take the savings at shooting guard and you go down to Giannis, 10-8, got Brooklyn. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't start Giannis against Brooklyn. You know, he's priced below 11K. Somehow his price dropped. You know, he's plus 6 on average against pace-up teams this year. Brooklyn's the worst in the defense in the league, fastest pace. I mean, this feels like a lock. You know, he'll probably be owned in the 30 to 40% range. You know, and he's averaged 48 FD points against Brooklyn in three games this year, 42, 56, and 48. Those were all in 2016 with Jabari in the lineup. So, you know, we saw what he did against the Lakers. I don't see why Giannis can't jump back and get you over 50. And at this price at 10-8, that's a really nice price for him. You know, tons of possessions and pretty bad defense and a lot of need for him to do a lot of scoring. So good spot for Giannis, no doubt. At small forward, you've got KD and LeBron. I'm staying away from Kawhi. You know, feels like a spot that Pop could just say, you've exerted yourself enough here. I'm giving you 25 minutes and then we're done. I really like LeBron without Kevin Love. You know, the one thing you question is he really hasn't paid off this 11K price tag recently. You really feel like you're paying too much for LeBron. You know, he scored the same number as Jimmy last night. So people who are on LeBron had that $2,000 hit, you know, over Jimmy. And just, you know, he's kind of been in that 45 range recently. He's averaged 25-8-8 against the Pacers. That's exactly almost 45 points again. You know, I don't know that I want 4X from LeBron, but the thing I will say is the advantage is that Indiana is allowing second most points to the position, the small forward in the last five. You know, LeBron without Kevin Love, you don't sleep on that. That's a possible 50-plus point outing. The only thing that I question is whether or not LeBron is really going to try to exert himself, you know, with the rest coming up, with Kevin Love out of the lineup. They really need to think about how to keep him from burning out. So, you know, with other studs in kind of must-win, not must-win situations, but in a lot more plus situations, I don't know about LeBron tonight. I do not mind KD at all. Price down 10-1. Bounce back at home seems very likely for him. You know, the Warriors, I think, will possibly get this game, you know, kind of put this game out of reach. But I think, you know, in those situations, you absolutely love Kevin Love to go over 50 in those out of reach situations. You know, you really want Kevin Love when he has to play all, or Kevin Love, Kevin Durant, when he plays all four quarters. No question. But here's the reality. You know, he still went for 36 points last time against Sacramento. He shot 2-for-16 in that game. 2-for-16 is terrible. He did have 5 blocks, however. So something is revealing itself to him defensively about how to play against the Kings here. There's definitely an advantage for him in that department. You know, I don't see him shooting that badly again. 2-of-16 is absolutely an outlier. So 50 points for Kevin Durant, not out of the question tonight. And at that price, that is a, you know, on the nose 5X. The question is do you see a blowout possible? You know, Kings on a back-to-back, on the road. Warriors definitely not going to lose their focus in this one and let this game slip away like they did last time against the Kings, like they did last night against, or 2 nights ago against the Nuggets. So, the question is really, does all that scoring go through KD? Is he the one who makes them get back on track and blows this game up? If he is, then that's the guy you want. But if it's Steph or if it's Clay or if it's all three of them kind of doing their 40-point thing, then, you know, that's something to be considering. Power forward, you've got Davis, but he's got Memphis, so I'm not on Davis. I love Nikola Jokic in this one. 11K, one of the best matchups on the night. This depleted Nuggets team, you know, especially if we get news that they are Nuggets that are sitting, they're giving tons of minutes to Jokic. You know, Jokic over 30 minutes is, you almost have to lock him in. You're seeing a competitive Wolves team, but the Wolves are on a back-to-back. Karl Anthony Towns is an absolutely terrible individual defender, literally the worst defensive real plus minus in the league at the center position. They are currently allowing a 51% field goal conversion rate to the forward, which, you know, Jokic kind of plays that 4-5, over 65 points to the forward, fantasy points allowed to the forward position. Jokic feels like a lock. And, you know, I love Jokic, but this is a really good spot for him as well at home. Boogie, not my favorite play of the night. We talked about this game a little bit, but, you know, he's there and he has a good matchup in a pace-up situation against Golden State. Minutes and usage will be there. You never count him out. You know, he's averaged 46 points against the Warriors this season. He went for over 50 last game. You know, people may be off of him because of the back-to-back. They were on him last night. You know, there's a ton of talent on this slate, but I think lower ownership on Boogie definitely puts him in play in tournaments, no question. You know, I think people will gravitate towards some of the other studs, and perhaps an under-owned Boogie is a really nice opportunity in tournaments. The other one that I have to mention, even though I hate this guy and you guys know this, but I'm going to mention, put him in your mind, not to play necessarily, but to investigate. And if he comes to you in your tournament lineups, I think he's tournament viable, is Whiteside. Tournament viable, okay? Whiteside is always only a GPP play for me, but the Rockets have been absolutely terrible against the center this year. Whiteside hasn't been great against the Rockets this year, but, you know, you do love him below 9K. You like the situation where you have a really solid DVP here. You know, for my money, I'm not really thinking that Whiteside is where I want to put $8,000 on this slate, but and there's so much value at center. I mean, the mid-tier at center is just absolutely loaded, so that's kind of where I am looking. Speaking of the mid-tier, let's go ahead down to the fantasy grout mid-price guys here that you can fill in around your studs. I'll give you two, possibly three at some of these positions to work from. It's absolutely loaded tonight. At point guard, you've got Jeff Teague and Ricky Rubio. Teague at 7-2 gets the Cavs. Rubio gets the Nuggets at 6-8. Excellent matchups, excellent DVP situations, excellent price tags for their 40-point upside. You know, Rubio exceeded value last night. He does that very frequently in Kyrie in plus matchups. Teague went for 49 last time against Kyrie when the Pacers played the Cavs. The thing that you have to be cautious about, I suppose, is that both of these guys are much better at home, and they're both on the road. Rubio definitely on road back-to-back is also kind of a challenge. The thing that I love about Rubio in this situation, however, is that Denver allows some of the highest numbers of assists to guards, 14-plus per game, which for Rubio is amazing because, you know, he's not a pure scorer. But if he can get you double digits assists, that's when he really starts to reach his ceiling. So, Teague and Rubio, I like them both this evening. At shooting guard, you've got three real nice options here, three names that we've been talking about a lot on the pod. You've got Clay, you've got Devin Booker, and you've got Will Barton, all in the 6K range. Clay just has an amazing matchup with the Sacramento Wings. They're literally allowing some of the most scoring from behind the arc. We saw Lou Williams go for 30-plus points, 40 FD points last night, you know, and Clay is just so consistent that if we know he's going to play, feels like a good position to play him. Sacramento's allowed 44 points to the shooting guard in the last five. Clay has his, you know, price down to, I think it's 6-8, which really isn't that priced down. I'm sorry. But, you know, he was at 6-9 the other day. He's at 6-9. Okay, never mind. The price didn't move. I thought the price moved. Sorry. You know, I don't mind Clay at all in this situation. I also really like Devin Booker. His price is back down to 6-6. You know, 33 points from Devin Booker against the Lakers is not crazy at all. I think that Devin Booker is a great price here. And Will Barton in a great DVP situation against the shooting guard for Minnesota. Minnesota in a pace-up game here, you kind of like Will Barton just because they've been forcing so much usage through him. So both interesting choices, Booker and Barton. I think of all three, Clay, Booker, and Barton, I think I'm going to take the matchup with Booker as my favorite. You know, he's due for some regression, and he already has averaged 36 FanDuel points against the Lakers this year, but we know he has 40-point upside takeover mode against a Lakers team on the back-to-back. Small forward, we've got two options that I think are priced really nicely for their consistency. That's Wiggins, obviously, 7-9 against Denver is amazing. Wiggins is, for me, just been a lock recently. It's ridiculous how we haven't priced him up. He's just been so deadly consistent, getting over 40. I love Wiggins tonight. And I also like Hayward tonight as well. But let me talk Wiggins first. Wiggins crushes with extra possessions. He did it last night. Cleveland is a pace-up team. Denver's the highest-paced team in the league. He does extremely well in transition. You know, all of his ceiling games this year have come in pace-up games. You know, Cleveland, Phoenix, L.A., Brooklyn. So you love Wiggins, especially since Denver is dead last in DVP to the small forward right now. No Gallo in the lineup. They really have struggled against the three. Wilson Chandler, I think, just isn't quite the defender that Gallo is. You know, physically, he's not nearly as big. Love that matchup. Love all the scoring that's going to happen in this game. Hayward is interesting to me, you know, back down to 7-7, a nice bounce back position here at home against Portland. You know, they haven't given up a ton of points in the DVP perspective to the small forward lately. But they haven't really played any good small forwards lately, to be completely honest with you. You know, they saw like Jaylen Brown, Gerald Green in the Boston game. You know, the best guy that they've seen is Harrison Barnes, and Harrison Barnes has put up over 25 points in both of those matchups that he had against them. So, you know, okay, Hayward over 25 points. Hayward is definitely, I think, comparable to Harrison Barnes, and his usage rate on his team is definitely better than Harrison Barnes. You know, Kevin Durant had 33 points against the, you know, against Portland. You know, this is an extra possession situation. I think that you need to be careful about the center situation, because a lot of this game could end up going through Gobert if there is no Portland front court. You know, and why wouldn't it? Which may just, you know, reduce the need for Hayward. So I like Hayward if he falls to you in your lineup construction. I'm not going to force Hayward in there. I think that there's other options in the 4 or 5K range at power, at small forward as well. Okay. At power forward, some really interesting choices here. I'm going to give you 4, just because I think that there's options in this range. Marvin Williams and Frank Kaminsky have a nice matchup here against the Toronto front court in a tight competitive game. I like that. Kaminsky starting at center is amazing. The other one is David Lee. David Lee, people might be sleeping on David Lee just because the minutes aren't really there right now, which I understand if you're not in love with David Lee, because, you know, he doesn't really get pushed by Pop, especially now that Deadman has taken over a little bit. But, you know, Magic are without Ibaka, and they're basically bottom five in the DVP to the position. They're just an absolutely terrible rebounding team. They're terrible in the interior. Vooch is a nice offensive player, but he just does not try on the glass. So that's interesting. Julius Randle and Larry Nance are also going to see a really nice matchup tonight against Phoenix, so I think that they're in play. Nance had an excellent game. I think Nance is slowly but surely proving that, like, hey, coach, you know, this second unit with me and Lou Williams is kind of saving grace for you. So Nance on that second unit for the Lakers against the Suns is nice. You know, I could definitely see a situation in which I don't play Jokic here just because of the massive amounts of value at power forward. But that is just so, so depressing to me to not play Jokic in this game. Choosing your stud is really a challenge tonight. It really is, guys. It's hard to figure out where you want to put that stud money, because there's just so many decent, you know, so many plays where you're like, oh, that guy, yeah, nope, okay, yeah, him too. All right, moving on to the mid-tier at center. Some really interesting options here at center. I'll start with, you know, the highest price and move my way down the line. Highest price is Gobert. Gobert at 7-7. I mean, good gracious. If Rudy Gobert has to play Myers Leonard, like, I'm going to lock him in everywhere. I think that's a really good spot. Then moving down, you've got Horford facing the 76ers. Horford priced down at 6'8", terrible against the center right now. Very interesting spot for Horford. And then you've got Steven Adams, who's probably my favorite play just because he's been getting so many minutes in Oklahoma City, and he's facing the Knicks. You know, it's 6'1". We know Steven Adams has 40-point upside. We know he's going to get the minutes. We know this game isn't going to be a blowout. I think Adams is a lock for me in a lot of situations. However, you also have access to Greg Monroe and Clint Capella, both in really great matchups against Brooklyn, and Capella against Whiteside at 5'2". Just hasn't seen his price go up. Capella has 30-point upside. You know, he's got Whiteside at home, so you like that. I mean, I honestly, center is one of those spots tonight where I'm either just going to sit there and lock in Adams and just say, okay, let me build from here, or I'm just going to build the rest of my lineup and just wait to see what price point falls to me. Because decision-making at other positions is a little bit hard. At center, it's not that hard. You know, anyone who falls to you basically between the 4s and the 6s and the 7s, you know, anywhere from 4 to 7, you're really okay with a lot of those options. So not bad at all for center tonight. If I'm on DK, I'm rostering two of these guys. No question asked. Maybe an Adams and a Gobert, maybe an Adams and a Capella. You know, crazy how much value we have at center. Really nice prices too. Moving on down to the bargain basement, looking for some of those value plays that you're going to need tonight. You really are. Starting at point guard, I think that there's a lot of really viable value point guards. And sometimes, you know, personally, I gravitate towards value point guards only because I trust their usage and their touch. That touch is there. You know, I think that, you know, starting off in the value section here, definitely Derrick Rose at 6K. I kind of qualify him as a value only because, you know, he's not priced up to that mid-tier. Derrick Rose is interesting. He's got a really nice history against Russell Westbrook, 40-point upside against Westbrook, who has been giving up, you know, 50-plus points in the last five to the point guard. So I don't mind Rose at all. He's a little bit risky. We know that. But I think that he's in a decent situation to succeed against poor Russell Westbrook defense. Then, of course, you have some other options. You know, Tyler Johnson at 5'7", interesting. TJ McConnell, 5'6", at Boston. You know, we love going up against that Isaiah Thomas defense. Austin Rivers at 5'2", against Dennis Schroeder, that's really nice. Malcolm Brogdon, 5'1", against Brooklyn, that is rock solid as well. So those guys are all definitely in play for me. You know, Brogdon and McConnell feel really, really pretty safe. You know, they've shown upside, they have minutes, the matchup is excellent. So, you know, Brogdon and McConnell think are really, really nice plays. I kept finding builds where I put them in. The combination of matchup, minutes, security, upside, you know, I think that if I'm focusing on two kind of value guys at the point guard position, Brogdon and McConnell are definitely up there for me, 100%. At shooting guard, you've got JJ and Jamal. I really like JJ Redick and Jamal Crawford against this Hawks backcourt, who've been giving up a ton of points on the perimeter. We saw we saw CJ McCollum have a really nice outing against them. Brandon Rush, of course, getting a ton of minutes in Minnesota, pace up game in Denver. He kind of did some scoring last night. Not a perfect situation for him, but he's definitely a punt, GPP viable. And Gary Harris at 5'1". I think that, you know, if we get more news that there are nuggets sitting, then I think that you kind of have to look maybe at Gary Harris as a really nice option. That really his price just hasn't moved, and his minutes are really secure. You know, and I think for me, that's something that's really, really, really important in this situation. Finding the minutes to me is really where I want to concentrate on, you know, my value plays, knowing the role, knowing the minutes. I don't want to get trapped by anybody who, you know, puts up a total dud in this slate, because if you get trapped by a dud, then you're really in trouble. So knowing the minutes situation, I'm going to ride that, no question asked, with my value plays tonight, which may limit my exposure to value. So we'll see. At small forward, a couple familiar names that we've been using. Michael Beasley will be really pretty chalky at 4'9", going up against Brooklyn. Beasley's okay. I don't chase. I don't like chasing. I think that chasing is foolish. You know, and he's priced at basically a season high because he had 40 points last game. You know, his role is definitely a little bit more clear now that Parker is out of the lineup. He definitely can get some more usage. But, you know, at the same time, he has a terrible floor. He has a 12-point floor, you know, and if he doesn't, for whatever reason, get those minutes, or they just don't need him to do all that scoring like he did against Indiana, then I'm not really going to chase Beasley. People will be on him, but I don't know if I want to chase that. Joe Ingles, I think, is interesting. He's still filling in for Rodney Hood, a very nice price at 3'8". You know, you could do worse than Jingle Bear. And then, of course, TJ Warren, our friend, you know, people are going to be off of him because of how they got burned. But I think that a bounce back situation for TJ Warren is likely. Minutes are there, you know, and he has 36 point upside against the Lakers this year. So, I mean, gosh, if you can get 30 points out of your 4-5 player, I just, you know, it's logical. You know, he had an outlier game last game. I just don't see him, you know, floundering again. You might feel a little bit nervous about it, but I think that it's very, very, very logical to say that TJ Warren has a bounce back situation. At power forward, we talked about a couple of the guys kind of in the mid tier. You know, Frank the Tank and Nerlens are very interesting. Absolutely. You know, and then you kind of get closer to that 5K range and you've got guys like Derek Favors and Channing Frye. You know, John Lohr is also appealing only because Dallas allows the three and Lohr can shoot the three as a stretch four. Larry Nance, of course, we talked about him earlier in the pod, getting good minutes on that second unit with LA in a really nice matchup against Phoenix. So if you feel like Larry Nance is going to get minutes, you know, let's look at that, because at 4-3, if he can get you 28 minutes and 24 points, you know, that's almost 6x basically for his value. And the matchup with Phoenix does not scare me whatsoever. However, I don't love chasing. Alex Len down there, you know, 20 minutes, basically 20 point upside at 3-7. That's not terrible. Good matchup against LA's front court. You know, but if he's going up against Larry Nance, I really feel like Larry Nance probably has the advantage. Larry Nance is just a pretty physical, pretty talented power forward in this league, and he deserves some credit. But, you know, I think my favorite power forward selection of the day probably has to be Juancho Hernan Gomez. If we get news that all this front court for Denver is really still depleted, you know, Hernan Gomez could again see, he saw 43 minutes last game. Now that's obviously an outlier. He was unbelievably hot. We're not going to see another 35 point performance from him, 45 point performance. That's insane. But you know, he's basically a fantasy point per minute right now. And if we know he's going to get 30 minutes at 4K, then you almost have to lock that in. It's just foolish not to go with Juancho, who can shoot the lights out. And we saw what stretch fours Channing Frye do against Georgie Dang last night, you know, and Dang struggled for sure to get out there. And Juancho can really shoot the three. He can really stretch the floor. He's young, he's athletic, he's quick. You know, 4K, you kind of love that. Then at center, you know, I think for me, it starts with Clint Capella. We talked about him a little bit. And then, you know, Kyle O'Quinn could be interesting. He's stolen those minutes back from Hernan Gomez, but it says Hernan Gomez is going to get the start. I don't really know if I want to play that roulette with those two. I think that the real nice option for me is really Dwayne Dedmon here at 4,200. Dedmon, very, very interesting against very poor Orlando front court. And he has been getting 30 minutes. You know, Dedmon for me is actually, I've continued to find him in a lot of my builds as well. No question asked. He's just in a good spot here with the minutes upside that we have with Dedmon. Okay, and then the other one is, you know, Lucas Nogueira, you have to think about him because there's literally no one else to play in the front court of Toronto at 3,900. He's been getting 30 minutes, you know, he's got a 5-point floor, but he also has a possibility of, you know, 20 to 30 point upside. And the matchup with the Charlotte front court is pretty nice. Not great in the front court there at all. So definitely keeping Nogueira in mind as a possibility if I have to for GPPs. So that's it in the bargain basement. You know, a lot to work with down there. Let's go ahead and let's take a look at lineup lock and see where we're at with this lineup build for right now. Okay, so, you know, like I said earlier, lineup construction is a challenge today. You're really going to have to try to make sure, I think, that you're finding value plays that you're not chasing and you're finding value plays that are secure. You don't want holes in your lineup. Like, you don't want to take a risk on a guy who, you know, seems to be in a good position and, okay, maybe he has some upside, you know, and I want to fit him in so I can fit in an extra stud. I really think it's more viable to just kind of make sure that you know what your value plays you're going to get. And as news comes out, really target those values that are logical, but also safe, and not overspend. So you'll see where I have my value in this lineup. So I mentioned this, you know, I think at point guard, I like the security and the value of Brogdon and McConnell. So I'm starting with Brogdon and McConnell. There's a lot of builds where I don't have Brogdon and McConnell. I was, you know, had some combination of Rubio and Teague, or Teague and D. Rose. That's very possible. Then at shooting guard, I got Giannis and Devin Booker. Small forward, it's T.J. Warren and Andrew Wiggins. At power forward, Juancho, Hernan Gomez, and Nikola Jokic. And then at center, Dwayne Dedmon. Dedmon to me is really just a hard value to fade. You know, 30 minutes in a plus matchup against Orlando, who basically gives up 47 points to the center. You know, we've seen Dedmon in plus matchups against teams like Philadelphia. You know, he's had, you know, 29 plus points. Oklahoma City had 22 points, you know, at 20 points against Indiana. You know, his minutes are secure right now. And I think from a rebounding perspective, Dedmon has a really nice opportunity to lock down 30 minutes and double digit boards. So Dedmon to me feels like I just can't go away from that. And, you know, Juancho is kind of an interesting choice, but I'm going to need some Nuggets news in order to determine whether or not Hernan Gomez stays in the lineup. You know, and TJ Warren feels a little bit risky, but hopefully people will be off of him and it'll be one of those lower owned plays of the night. I don't mind that at all. You know, the other possible build that I was on earlier is basically just shifting over my ownership off of Giannis and then taking a guy like, you know, taking a guy like, you know, a Gary Harris or a Jamal Crawford. So let's say we put Jamal Crawford in there at 4-9. Then we can go down and we can add Gordon Hayward at 7-7. And then we can go ahead and jump on to, you know, point guard. We could very easily do some Jeff Teague and Derrick Rose, you know. And that's a little bit more balanced. That's a little bit more interesting to me, maybe. You know, Jeff Teague, Derrick Rose, Jamal Crawford, Devin Booker, Gordon Hayward, Andrew Wiggins. Everybody has 30 to 40 point upside in the top half of that lineup. And then your stud is Nikola Jokic. You know, I do think it's very viable tonight to say, I'm not going to chase too many studs on this slate. I'm really going to lock in minutes. I'm going to lock in I'm going to lock in secure 20 point guys who have, you know, 30 point upside, or 30 point guys who have 40 point upside. You know, and Teague and Rose definitely fit that build for me. You know, Derrick Rose always makes you a little bit nervous, but it makes me just as nervous to roster multiple guys below 5K. So, you know, I think it's a challenge of lineup construction today. You know, go with what you feel comfortable with. You know, don't chase too much value on this slate. There's no reason. You want to keep yourself in the game and hope that some other people bust, some players bust, some values bust. You know, if you get beat by, you know, Channing Frye going for 40 points, then you get beat by Channing Frye going for 40 points. You know, that's an outlier. But line of construction, trust your process. Make sure you're making your decisions based on, you know, pace, DVP, matchup, etc. And don't chase. You know, that's what you want to do here. All right, guys. Well, hey, I'm on Twitter. Keep an eye out for me this afternoon. I may be making an announcement about a free roll. If we can get some interest in a Thursday free roll giveaway for you, I'd be happy to do so. You can find me, Hey Mr. Kane. Check out Fantasy 5x5. That's Fantasy 5x5.com. I will put a link in my show notes. I will also tweet out a link in my Twitter profile. So, good luck in your contest tonight. And I will see you tomorrow.